Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. Amen. The text for the meditation this morning is from the Gospel lesson you heard read before, and I'll reread it now. To the Jews who had believed him, Jesus said, "If you hold to my teaching, you are truly my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." They answered, "We are Abraham's descendants and have never been slaves of anyone. How can you say that we shall be set free?" Jesus replied, "Very truly I tell you, everyone who sins is a slave to sin. Now a slave has no permanent place in the family, but a son belongs to it forever. So if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed." This is the text. Let us pray. Lord, sanctify us in the truth. Your word is truth. Amen. Each year we celebrate Reformation. Every year around this time, or sometimes a bit earlier, we hear again the great saving message, the message about the dawning of the light after times of darkness, and about the need to live in the light that has dawned. Now, you may be thinking I'm talking about Reformation Sunday and the Reformation of the Church. I'm actually thinking about the Reformation that is the beginning of daylight savings, which happened a few weeks ago. For several months, we undergo this Reformation of time. We adjust our watches and clocks, and we tell ourselves that it's an hour earlier than it normally is for the rest of the year. And then when they tell us we've had enough of it, we undergo another reformation to go back to the way we were. However we feel about this annual reformation, it looks like that reformation is here to stay. It's ongoing. An extra hour of sunlight called for changes and adjustment. The light that is given is to be saved and not wasted. These themes associated with daylight saving tie in with the thoughts and the themes presented in today's gospel lesson. And so, in a way, with the ongoing need for reformation in the church. These themes also have to do with the appearing of the light of another sun, a light that brings reformation and change, a light that is to be treasured and saved, but is because it is this life-giving and life-saving light. We are told that these words in the Gospel were first addressed to the Jews who had believed in Jesus, but it soon became clear from what follows that the believing or their seeing of Jesus was just a small glimpse, a beginning. There was so far to go, so many things that needed to change, or rather to be changed. And so in a sense these words are also meant for us today as believers in Jesus. As long as we live, we, like the Jews of old, have only a glimpse. We've only begun to believe. There's always so much more for us to learn, so much that needs reforming or changing in our lives. And true to himself, Jesus is the one who still speaks as he did long ago to the Jews and to the people in the church throughout the ages. Through his word, he opens the eyes of faith so that we begin to see clearly. But thankfully, more important than our seeing him and who he is his seeing and knowing of us. He sees and knows us perfectly and completely. He sees the deficiencies in our believing. He sees and knows what needs to be reformed in our lives until things are as he wants them to be. But not only does he see and know, he offers great and precious promises to us in his word and carries on his reforming work until it is complete and perfect. So he says to all of us who hear his words, if you remain in, if you hold on to my teaching, you are really my disciples. You will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Believing in Jesus and knowing and being his disciples is not just about casually and momentarily acknowledging truths about him. Believing in Jesus and being his disciples is not just about giving lip service to this or that doctrine and teaching. Believing in Jesus and being his disciples is rather about having a permanent relationship with him. This happens as we continue, as we remain, as we digest his word and teaching and let it take root in our lives. Jesus assures us that as we hold on to, as we remain, as we abide and dwell in his word, we are truly his disciples. We will know the truth about him and about us. And about that truth will set us free. Knowing the truth, as I've said, is far more than knowing or understanding and accepting certain facts. Holding on to Jesus' teaching leads us to knowing the truth. Knowing the truth is about knowing that we are claimed and confronted and saved by the truth. This is so because Jesus himself is the truth. His life, his death, and his resurrection for us is truth in action. This is the truth of the gospel that saves all who hold on to it and embrace it in faith. This is the truth that reforms us and sets us perfectly free. But this truth that touches on a raw and sensitive nerve deep inside us, that exposes something of who we are and what we are, something that is always in need of major reformation. The Jews of old to whom Jesus speaks in this text hinted at when they say, we are Abraham's descendants and we have never been slaves to anyone. How can you say that we shall be set free? The Jews were proud descendants of Abraham. This was their claim and boast, that they were the pure and chosen race, the true people of God. They belonged to the right family tree. They came from the right stock and they had the right genealogy to prove it. They could claim Abraham, the great father of faith, as their ancestor. And hence they said they have always been free. So why do they take offence at Jesus' words when they say, how can you talk to us of freedom and needing to be free? In their proud boast do we hear our own. After all, aren't we Luther's descendants? Don't we come from good Lutheran or is it German stock? Don't we stand as a church on the great gospel discoveries of the Reformation? Don't we appreciate better than others the central truth of justification by grace through faith? How can you talk to us Lutherans about freedom? Are we not perhaps a little surprised, maybe offended, when Jesus speaks to us of needing to be set free as well? The false pride and boast that Jesus identifies and exposes with his words to the Jews and to us is of course not restricted to Lutherans. Instead, it's something that adheres to human nature in general. It belongs to all the basic desire to justify ourselves in God's sight. All false pride and boasting belongs to the desire to go it alone, the desire to trust and rely on traditions and securities of our own making. sadly, such pride and boasting when we rely on ourselves and our history makes us blind to the truth. We can deceive ourselves into thinking we are free when we are not. Whenever this is the case, Jesus here in our text gives a true diagnosis. Jesus identifies and names the source of all slavery and human boasting when he says everyone who sins is a slave to sin. Not only does Jesus name sin as the ultimate cause of slavery, he also speaks a word of judgment. A slave has no permanent place in the family. Ultimately, there is no room for those caught up in the slavery of sin, for those who live under the law as a slave driver. Worse still, the efforts of slaves are never enough to win freedom. But what slaves are unable to do, the son is able to do. Now, a slave has no permanent place in the family, but a son belongs to it forever. No matter what our physical descent, no matter what our background or tradition or doctrine or denomination we may lay claim to or pride ourselves in, as human beings we have one descent. We ultimately have Adam as our ancestor, along with all that we inherit from him. As long as we live, even as Christians, the old Adam will cling to us and all that we are involved in. And so long as we live, the word of Jesus confronts us and exposes us and speaks into our lives. It is a word calling us to repent of all our false pride and vain boasting. But at the same time, it is a word that claims us and sets us free. It announces the good news that while we, in our own right or by our own effort, have no continuing place in the home, in God's family, there is a son who does belong there forever. Jesus is that son who belongs in the family. And for his sake, even though we are slaves to sin, he sets us free, and we too are given a place. We too are included in that family of God, incorporated in our baptism with Jesus through his death and resurrection. Jesus the Son sets us free. And it says, so if the Son sets you free, then you'll be free indeed. This is not just a freedom from sin and death. This is not just a freedom to please ourselves. The freedom Jesus gives us is a freedom in him to live a new life, a life devoted to serving him with all that we are and all that we have. Such willing service is a glad response to Jesus' love and mercy. It's not slavery. It is freedom indeed. Amen. And the peace of God, which passes our human understanding, keep your hearts and your minds safe in Christ Jesus to life eternal. Amen.